It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, Season 2, Episode 3. And man, do we have a special guest this week. Rex Nelson, the all-everything Mr. Arkansas, and he even does sports some, just a little bit.
A lot. That's my favorite thing.
I'm going to call him the godfather of Arkansas high school football.
And you know, he just does so many things. I don't know how to describe him. But for our purposes, we're going to describe him as the voice of the Ouachita Baptist Tigers and also the voice of the Friday night scoreboard show that airs on our station and a lot of other stations in Arkansas.
All over the state. It's an amazing reach.
Yeah, all 75 counties, but every Friday night at 10 o'clock, and Rex has his Road to the Rock, and they talk about all the football games and everything that's going on. I don't know when he sleeps. Hey, I don't know. How do you do that?
Not on Friday night.
Well,
I was going to say, at some point, and I've got to get Jay Bunyard to get his time machine out and slow down the aging process, you know, because I turn 65 in a couple of weeks, and at some point, I think I don't want to, but I'm going to have to give up one or the other, either Friday night or Saturday, because we're on the air on Friday nights till midnight. That puts me home in Little Rock about 12:30. And if we've got an early afternoon kickoff in Oklahoma, we may pull out at 4:30. And at my age now, that's an awfully short night, let me tell you. Very short night.
Well, you need a driver.
Well, what I have figured out is I can still run on adrenaline for about 36 hours. So the thing that I never do now, that I used to do, is go to Oklahoma and come back, you know. Mm-hmm. I never come back after one of those. I rent a room, and even if it's an afternoon game, I'll go eat a big dinner after we sign off, and then I'll lay down to pretend to watch the night game, you know, at 6:30 or 7 o'clock and maybe asleep at 7:30 with the TV still going at that time. So that is the one concession to age I make. I always get a hotel room now, even if it's an afternoon game.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you, same way with me. You know, I'm just a little bit older than you are, but and a little bit different story, but I went to Magic Springs last weekend with my grandkids, and I got on the Arkansas Twister, you know, it's that wooden roller coaster.
Absolutely.
I thought it was going to kill me before I got off of it. I mean, just the way it jars you, you know. And I used to love that.
Me too.
Yeah, you just get too old to do some things, you know. Yeah, you have to make concessions.
I would do high school games when I was young on Friday nights, turn around, drive to wherever Ouachita was playing, and drive back from out of state. I have driven back from a night game in Carrollton, Georgia before and gotten back after sunrise, for instance. So those years are long gone now, though.
I understand. Well, talking about high school football in Arkansas just for a little bit, and I know you haven't even really gotten there all the way. You still got some baseball to do, you told us. That's a different subject. We might talk about that for a minute before we start talking about football. Yeah. You're going to be the MC at the over at Hot Springs when they bring all the Hall of Famers in.
I tell you, Steve Arison, who is head of Visit Hot Springs, is just remarkable, the job he does. And, you know, Steve, with some encouragement from baseball historians, especially my late friend, the late Mike Dugan, came up with this idea of the Hot Springs Baseball Trail. Because as we all now know, spring training began at Hot Springs, and yet they had never capitalized on it. It's something, for some reason, they had never promoted, and they ended up putting that baseball trail together with very well-done historic markers all over town. And Steve tells me they now draw baseball tourists, the kind of people that will go to the Baseball Hall of Fame, you know, in Cooperstown, will later come to Hot Springs to read all those markers and read about spring training year around. So it's been a great economic benefit. So he added this weekend a few years ago, and it gets bigger every year. He's expecting 800 or 900 people for some of the sessions this year. And it's a full day because it's a card show, too, so people can come in, look at cards, and you've got different players that I get to interview, which is fun, during the course of the day. So it's going to be one fun Saturday in Hot Springs.
Well, if you're a baseball fan, that's where you want to be.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially if you get to see people like Johnny Bench, who's going to be there. I mean, that's when I was a kid, you know, those guys were amazing back in the 70s and stuff.
My dad's favorite player still to this day is Johnny Bench, being a Reds fan.
Yeah, exactly. So my son and I, the weekend before that, are going to St. Louis to watch the Cardinals play the Dodgers, which should be a fun series. And then I'm going to do baseball weekend. Then it's full-time football after that. And that actually works out very good for me this year because Ouachita doesn't start till September 5th. So the end of August and Labor Day weekend, I'm going to see Arkansas and UAPB on Thursday night at War Memorial Stadium in Little Rock. Then I'm going to go to Jonesboro on Saturday and see UCA against ASU. So I will have already seen all four of our Division I teams the first weekend in the state.
Well, that doesn't work out that way very often.
No,
but
it
that's
doesn't.
Great.
It doesn't. No. And I try to see as many of the teams as I can. So, and obviously I'll see all the D2 teams calling those games. So this will be one of those years I will have seen all of our Division I and all of our Division II teams in person.
That's really neat to be able to do that. Switching gears over to high school football just for a few minutes, for a while. It'd probably be longer than a few minutes once we get into it. We talked to you a little bit last year, if people remember, but you know, we tried to talk you into doing something, but you just wouldn't do it. You know, and we're going to call you on that this year.
I did it,
you know,
at the end of the season.
Yeah. When, but you know, Little Rock Parkview, real deal last year.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. You should make them your number one overall, and I thought I can't make a 5A number one over a 6A or a 7A.
Yeah,
and I should have known better. I mean, it was this once in a lifetime, and they're going to be good again. But I mean, this was once in a lifetime. This team, they could have played with about anybody in the country, I think, last year. And so you can't always go with the bigger divisions. The first person that I know, we talked about this last year, you will remember, the first outlet I know that did national high school rankings was USA Today. And the first Arkansas team to ever make their national top 25 at the end of a season was Arkadelphia in 1987 from 4A. And so I should have learned my lesson that sometimes a smaller classification team can be your best team overall, and certainly Parkview was our best team overall last year.
Yeah, they really were a good team, but we just had to give you a little bit of all the time.
Oh, exactly.
But, you know,
and to have the Boulding brothers together now on the same staff, that's almost unfair to everybody else.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't bet against them this year.
No, I wouldn't either. Not at all.
Not
even
again.
With the Division I talent that they lost. Yeah. I don't think I could.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of people coming back that are Division I players, too.
They really do.
Just overall high school, what are your thoughts for the season? I mean, you got any thoughts about anything about it? Just how the Triple A's running things, how the classifications go?
One of the things that really interests me this year is some of the coaching changes that we've seen, not only this year, but in the last few years. I mean, up there with Brad Boulding, who I just mentioned, of course, would be Buck James. We saw what he did at Bryant. And I think Conway could very well be a state champion this year. I mean, he's got all of the makings now. as he moved to Conway. And you say, well, how can you get any better in Bryant? Well, you can. The city of Conway now has over 70,000 residents.
Wow.
And yet just one high school. I don't know how long they're going to be able to get away with that. And, in fact, this is not sports-related, but it's I like to do Arkansas trivia. And one that almost always stumps people, you will ask, of cities 50,000 or above the last 2 years, what's been the fastest-growing city in Arkansas? Everybody's going to say Bentonville. Conway.
Mm-hmm.
Conway has grown at a rate higher than Bentonville the last 2 years. So, you know, I just think as long as Buck James wants to be at Conway, they're going to be a dynasty over there eventually.
Yeah, I got
a book. He started last year, and it's going to take a couple of years to get them where they need to be. But that's one of those coaching changes I'm watching.
Yeah, I got a buddy that coaches junior high there, you know, and they've had two different junior, even though they're one junior high, they've had a blue team and a white team that went to different places, you know, because they have so many kids out.
Yeah,
and that's just getting bigger and bigger.
You know, and how about the great Tommy Tice coming out of retirement to coach at Farmington, which is one of the fastest-growing towns in Arkansas also.
Yeah.
So that's another coaching change I'm going to watch. I mean, here's a guy that's been out of the business for a few years now but couldn't stay out of the business.
Kevin Kelly at Sheridan,
Jay. Yeah, absolutely right. Can he work his magic at a place that has not won in decades? There's going to be a real test of it, but I don't put it past him.
No, I'm sure that that was a real get for Sheridan. You know, they kind of got a local flavor with that. They recruited, for lack of a better word, Mina's quarterback, who we saw last year, and he's there now. And it'd be interesting to see what Coach Kelly can do with him.
And your buddy's the athletic director over there now.
Rick Treadway.
Yeah, Rick Treadway.
Yep.
Left Pulaski Academy and went over there to be the athletic director, and Kelly
are good friends.
Yeah, they got it.
That had a lot to do with each of them landing in the same place.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so Sheridan's got it going in the right direction anyway. So it's there's a lot of changes going on in coaching there.
Oh yeah, there really are. And those are going to be some of the fun ones to watch as we go along this season.
And, you know, the thing about – one of the things that I thought about when you were talking about Parkview and these smaller schools – when I say smaller, they're probably one of the biggest 5A schools, but still smaller schools – is that, you know, there's a – with the ability to move from school to school year to year, you've kind of taken some of that stuff out of play.
Right.
Because – you know, you can live anywhere you want to in Little Rock now, and you can play at Parkview.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what they do is they play football. They all go there, or the ones the Bolden brothers won't, go to Parkview.
Yeah.
And that's the same way with a lot of other schools, you know, even in this area. Well, you know, we've had kids.
And then in basketball, they might go to Hall, who's awful in football, but great in basketball,
for instance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got that different sports school specialized
in. Yeah,
Parkview's more of a football school. Hall's a basketball school.
Yeah. So, so moving – let's move back to kind of looking at the teams. I think 7A, Conway, Bryant, anybody up in northwest Arkansas that
– Fayetteville.
Fayetteville's going to
good. Purple Hogs are going to be awfully good again.
They're going to split up pretty soon, don't you think?
Again, that's one of those places I can't see. I mean, you look, Rogers has got two high schools. Springdale's got two high schools. Bentonville's got two high schools. How does Fayetteville get away with having just one high school? And that's one that's got to split with growth, I think, at some point.
That's what I would think, too. But for right now, they're going to be one of the top ones. So moving down to 6A – when you move down there, you're looking at
University of Greenwood, as we call them on our scoreboard show every year. We've done that for many years, and it's still applicable.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've always had fun with that.
But I see a lot of people picking Benton.
Yeah, yeah. Benton is. I'm a big fan of that program and that coach, and I think we can tell. you know, if Benton could ever win that Salt Bowl, you know, and get off to it, even though it's non-conference, it gives you momentum, it gives you start, and I think if they could ever get over that first week hump at War Memorial Stadium against Bryant, then they'd be off and running.
Well, that's a great point because they've not won that game since 04.
Yeah.
And I think there's been one
two tie decades.
Yeah. Yeah. So you start the season 0-1. And then at least as long as I've been familiar with the Benton program, they have an off week the next week. So you play the best team in the state, you get an L, then you have an off week. So it's week three before you have an opportunity to win a football game. And that's not a recipe for success.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
But, I, you know, what other 6A teams? You got Greenwood, you got Benton.
Shallow Christian has moved up.
Yeah, I forgot they moved up.
They
have
moved
up,
up to 6A now, and they are always going to be good. Yeah. So so don't overlook them. And I tell you, a program that has started to turn around, you know, a former college coach, we talk about coaching changes, and that's since Kim Dameron came to Fort Smith Southside. And at some point, he's going to have a really good season.
Yeah.
And this could be it.
Yeah.
There.
Well,
we haven't seen either of the Fort Smith teams do much in recent years.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all remember the great teams that Barry Lunny Sr. used to have. And they're still athletes at Fort Smith. They hadn't run out of athletes.
No.
So at some point, one of either North Side or South Side are going to take off again at some point.
Yeah. Well, and so I guess moving down to 5A from there, I'll take Parkview against the field.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I think the question with Parkview is, and we've talked about this before, is there anybody in 5A that can even keep from being mercy ruled by them? In our conference last year, and there were some pretty good teams in the 5A South, they mercy ruled every team in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And
some of them twice. Got some of them in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
And you wonder about the whole division if there's anybody that can compete.
Well, you know, again, talking about programs moving up, Harding Academy has a great history. Yep. Now, that's a big move up. But, you know, I don't know if they can beat Parkview right now, but they're always going to be pretty good. You know, Joe T. Robinson, having moved up in recent years, is always going to be pretty good also.
Yeah. I mean, after watching them, it's just amazing what they do.
And there's also, let me mention, not only moving up, but you've got moving down. And the Pine Bluff, you know, now in 5A, and what a great football tradition there. You know, after Little Rock Central, nobody has won more state titles and mythical national titles than Pine Bluff through the decades. And again, kind of like Fort Smith, the athletes haven't gone anywhere. They're still there.
Yeah.
So they will be much more competitive in 5A than they were in 6A.
And well, moving on down to 4A, then you got there's a lot of good teams in 4A. Arkadelphia is going to be one of the top teams.
Arkadelphia will be good again, you know. In that conference, we've talked about it before. With, you know, last year we talked a lot about with Arkadelphia being my hometown, but you know, you take Malvern, you take Arkadelphia. And to show you how good that conference is, consider the fact that Coach Vogelman at Catholic leaves a 6A school to go back to Malvern, a 4A school.
Yeah.
And people just want to – they want to play in that conference. And, you know, it's going to be real interesting over in this part of the state, talk about that conference, to see how Nashville responds after a coaching change.
Mm-hmm.
Which really kind of divided the community. You know, it wasn't popular with everybody.
No, it wasn't popular with everybody.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that Bauxite they've got their best team coming in the last 10 or 15 years. And I'll have to see believe it.
Hootens has Bauxite number 3 behind Warren 1 and Arkadelphia 2.
Yeah.
Bauxite.
Yeah. So I'll have to see that to believe it, to know that they're better than Malvern.
Yeah.
But they are going to be considerably better.
Yeah.
No, I can never mention Bauxite without telling, you know, one of my favorite stories that I've told through the years. But it is a very true story. As y'all know, my father was in the sporting goods business and sold athletic supplies and ordered new jerseys for Bauxite. And the jerseys sat on them. And it was Dad's mistake. M-I-N-O-R-S, the Miners.
I bet they like that one.
So I had a bauxite miner jersey to wear because there wasn't anything else to do with them other than give them away or throw them away.
You should have kept that.
Yeah, so he changed it to N-E-R, of course, and actually, I forget, I think they were out of Russell Athletic, which was Russell, Alabama, and I do know that he drove all the way to Alabama to get those in time for the first game because his mistake, and personally drove those back from the town of Russell, Alabama. Yeah.
Well,
but I always think I'm Mr. Miners with an O-R-S.
Yeah, no kidding. That's great. But anybody else that you can think of just comes out in 4A because they change so much, it's hard for me to keep up. You know, the teams that I always grew up with being larger teams and bigger teams, they've all dropped in classification.
Yeah, where, they have.
You know, the Queen was, one level, and then you had Wynn, for example.
Right. Hard to keep up with the classification changes. Yeah. I mentioned that Hootens has Warren number one, and again, there's a town that is losing population but still turning out athletes. I mean, and as long as Bo Embry's over there, they're going to be awfully, awfully good. I personally, because that's turned into quite a little rivalry based on some weird playoff games in recent years. But I'd love to see Warren and Arkadelphia rematch in the state championship again.
They're good every year. And Embry, he just has a knack for finding those players that can play. I mean, how many wide receivers they have in the NFL?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, just receivers you.
Yeah. 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 They've been really good. Moving down to 3A, who you got there?
I think I'll stick here in Southwest Arkansas and go with the Prescott Curly Wolves.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of tradition in that program.
Hard to bet against Prescott.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Yeah, Prescott, one of those teams that has a hard time finding opponents in the state.
Yeah.
Didn't they have to go into Oklahoma last
They went to Poto last year and played Poto. And Poto is a big school in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And a good football team. And they almost beat them.
Yeah.
They didn't beat them, but they almost did. And we were over there for a junior high game, and we were talking to them about it. And they said, we just can't get anybody to play us.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to talk about on our Friday night show, I like to talk about – because it is pretty amazing when you think about it, but I talk about the I-30 football corridor, but you consider coming out of Little Rock, Bryant, Benton, Glen Rose, usually pretty good, even in between, then Malvern, then Arkadelphia, Garden's usually pretty good, and then Prescott going right down I-30. Yeah. I mean, that's a football corridor right there coming down that interstate.
Yeah, a whole lot of players there. I don't see anybody competing with Prescott as far as for the state championship.
No.
I mean, you always have injuries and things, but they got to be the favorite in 3A.
Oh, I agree. Now, there's some traditional powers that are going to be up there. Boonville is always good. Mm-hmm. Rivercrest, obviously, always good.
Yeah.
I would certainly have them up there. Charleston, another one over in West Arkansas, always good. So have all of them up there too. But yeah, I'm going to go with Prescott there.
Well, we got 2A next. What's your call there, Rex?
Based on the good teams they've had in recent years, I like Carlisle a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good little football quarter through there too. When you look at Carlisle and Hazen and Desark, what they do over there on the Grand Prairie. But a program that of course shined for many years and then went down for a few years, but I think we may see Junction City back again.
A lot of our friends
this year,
Derek's here, are not very happy about the AAA sticking them with Junction City.
With Junction. Are they in the same district?
Yeah, they're in the same. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only a 4-day drive over there.
Yeah, so. Exactly. You can't get there from here, can you?
you can, but it just takes a while. I think they're going to be really good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah, I was always always a big Junction City fan back in the day because David Carpenter and I grew up together in Arkadelphia.
Yeah.
But, of course, David's retired now. But I think that program may come back. That's another one that's just always going to have athletes for some reason, of those towns.
Well, and one of the things about it is, again, and this is my opinion, I don't even know, but I'm going to guess you got kids from El Dorado going down there and playing.
Yeah.
Because you can just go wherever you want to anymore. So it's just changed the whole landscape of high school football.
Yeah,
and all high school sports.
I'm looking at what Hootens has got here in this part of the state. They've got both Mineral Springs and Murfreesboro in their top six. They've got Mineral at four and Murfreesboro at six.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were really good last year, both those teams were. I think Murfreesboro beat Mineral Springs for the district title and then got upset in the playoffs, which happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they're both, Coach Brad Cheshire, who was in the Queen before he went to Murfreesboro, is over there, and they should have a good team.
They should. They got a lot returning and got a lot of respect for Brad.
I was talking about Arkansas trivia early when we were talking about Conway and Bentonville population, and I'm sure this has changed because it's been a few years ago, but at one time, because I had read one of my Arkansas trivia questions is, what is the smallest school enrollment-wise in the state with artificial turf, and it was Mineral Springs time. Was show how seriously they took football. Wow. It was the smallest school.
That comes with the Turk plant down there.
Yeah, exactly.
That helped a lot.
A whole lot, yeah. I don't know if it's still the case or not because, you even go to small schools now, and gosh, you see indoor facilities being built. It's we talk about the college arms race, but there could be a high school arms race now.
Well, there really is. When you give kids the opportunity to go wherever they want to go, then you're going to have to create things that entice them to stay or to come where you are.
Exactly.
Because, just like I said, we know several kids just in here that in our area, just switched from one team to another.
Mm-hmm.
The Queen got a player, and Ashdown got some players, and Dirk's had some leave and then come back and do different things. And you just never know what's going to happen. And from year to year, it used to be, it's kind of like college football or pro football, all of it.
Oh, yeah.
You used to know who the players were.
And now it just changes. Yeah. College beats anything I've ever seen. Now we tell people, heck, SMU was just ahead of its time back in the day.
That's right. That's right. They were just a few decades too early, weren't they?
Yeah. Or it was like I'll never forget, because we've got him coming back this year, but a few years ago when we had Barry Switzer at Touchdown Club, I'll never forget, he said close to here, Hooks, Texas, talking about Billy Sims. He said, dang right I paid Billy Sims. Said, best money I ever spent. And he goes, what's the NCAA going to do to me now? And that made the National Sports Wire, that quote from our club. Yeah, Barry was a hoot, though. Yeah, best money I ever spent. But, that was a great story. His great recruiter at the time was named Bill Schimmick on his staff. And do you know, you may remember this story, they rented an empty house next to Sims's house his senior year of high school, and they had graduate assistants move in next door to see who was going and coming and so forth. So, OU had the house next to his parents' house in Hooks, his whole senior year of high school. Wow. Is that not amazing?
I tell you, he was a good football player.
Yeah.
He was worth getting.
He really was.
Yeah.
He really was.
He was. But that's an interesting story there. So anything else on high school football teams you want to mention before we move on to
We've listed a lot of the great programs. But, again, these coaching changes of recent years. We talk about Kevin Kelly, Tommy Tice, Buck James. Those are all worth keeping an eye on and seeing if they can transfer their magic to a different place.
Yeah, Yep.
Doesn't always work, but sometimes it does.
Yeah. Well, and I know we got you a little bit early. You hadn't really got all your studying done on high school athletics.
No,
because
I usually do preseason ranking, so I've got to get real serious before our first show.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I wanted to head and maybe get Jay in on a little bit about the Friday night scoreboard show and what y'all do with that and then where all it is and how y'all got it set up and everything.
Well, I'll let Jay get in, but I want to make the point, it's not the scoreboard's the part that I host, but it's a whole Friday night production, and Jay has created something I don't think exists anywhere else in America, because there's a statewide pregame show, then all these stations do their local games. And then they come out of the local games to our two-hour scoreboard show. So, Jay, I'll let you talk about kind of the whole package and how it came to be through the years.
Well, we actually work with Chris Babb at Ouachita Baptist to produce the preview show, Friday night pregame show. It's a 30-minute program, and he utilizes a couple of students there at Ouachita to produce that. And then, as Rex mentioned, in-game ads. We have approximately 40 stations that carry the preview show and the in-game ads, but Rex's statewide scoreboard show is so popular, we'll have 20 to 30 additional stations just pick up the scoreboard show and carry it on a barter basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as far as I know, it is the biggest in the country. Of course, you know, you could never do a scoreboard show in Texas because you have so many games, you couldn't even read scores for 2 hours and get all of them. But the thing that makes our show so fun, if you will, is that we have correspondents call in. A lot of them are play-by-play men. Some of them occasionally an assistant coach or somebody keeping stats. But some of these people have been around for years, and they become like family. Some of them I've never met in person, but they're almost like family because they are part of our Friday night family, Jay.
And you get to know these people.
Newspaper sports.
Barclay.
I have really worked hard since I went back full-time to the Democrat Gazette, getting some of their people involved. In fact, the two people that know the history of high school football are Leland Barclay up in the Fort Smith area. In fact, he wrote, you know, the almanac of Arkansas Football High School. He's got better stats than the AAA has than anybody. I mean, Leland calls in every Friday night. And then there's a younger guy named Walter Woody. Walter is a teacher in the Fort Smith area. But high school football is his passion, always has been. And Walter actually comes on for about 20 minutes with us in the final hour, the 11 o'clock hour, everybody. And between Leland and Walter, between the two of them, there's no more knowledge of Arkansas football than those two together, and we have them both on every week,
right?
Which is just wonderful.
Yeah, I think that show is amazing. I don't really know how you pull it off. How many phone lines do you have?
We've got 5 lines coming in, and what we do is, and Jay will remember this. So at the start of the pandemic, our flagship station where we do it from in Little Rock basically is corporately owned, and their out-of-state corporate people said, no, if you're not a full-time employee here, you cannot enter the building. And so I did the first show that week from home on my cell phone with my home computer. But to pull that show off right, it takes multiple computers. And Jay will remember very well, I called him and I said, we've got to beg them to get me in the studio. My co-host will leave him on the phone. I'll be the only one in the room. I can see through a window and see my technical guy. But to do this one right, I've got to be in studio. And we pulled it off, but Jay, you'll remember I had to sign like 6 forms every week. That's corporate America for you.
There you go.
It was crazy in 2020, but I'd go in there and sign like 6 different forms. We're not going to sue you if I get sick. You know, for letting me in the building. Yeah, but that show's just impossible to do unless you have multiple screens in front of you.
Yeah.
And I like it because it's people our age, Craig, always can remember the old spinning plates on the Ed Sullivan Show, you know, and that's what it is. It's a spinning plate show.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got my callers on one screen. I've got my scores on another. You know, he's waiting. I got score updates here. I've got Richard Atkinson, who's back as my co-host this year, sitting over handing me notes that he just pulled up something on his phone. I've got all of these live ads I've got to read over here to keep Jay happy. Right. You know, it is truly spinning plates.
He's really following is the St. Louis Cardinals.
We have done that when they made the playoffs. I don't know if we're going to get there this year.
Well, I have been with
you. We have called World Series victories, actually, on Friday night that have occurred before.
Well, and I've seen Jay watching the Rangers while he's calling the football game.
Yeah.
You're not the only one. So.
No, Jay knows that if it gets to a playoff game, bottom of the ninth, we'll basically stop and do play by play because we have a television up there also on the Cardinals. And I know there are a lot of people in Arkansas doing that. In fact, I can remember one year we really had a bad tornado outbreak on a football Friday night across the state. So, you know, I thought it was important. We were doing as much weather as we were as we were scores. So you do what you have to do.
That's right.
But we had the television monitor up there, and you know, there's a tornado crossing 530 because we have a lot of people who are driving coming back from games. So I just thought it was critical that night that we basically turn it over to weather, you know, for people who were on the road.
Sure.
You know, if you're coming up this highway, pull over, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Rex, have you got our buddy Nate Olson back with you this year?
Nate actually is going to take a break. Nate has been a great co-host, but he his main job is with SB Live, which
he's
a busy
guy.
And they want him doing a lot more live stuff on Friday night. So I told Jay he can't even give up the 2 hours now. He's got to be in front of a computer typing the whole 2 hours. So Richard Atkinson, who works with me on the Wichita Network and was my co-host before Nate was, is actually coming out of Friday night retirement and going to try to do the Friday. And he's a younger than I am. If I can do it, he ought to be able to do it. Do those Friday
shows. You shamed him into it.
Yeah, double headers. Like, I'm doing it. You can do both again. Don't wimp out on me.
Well, I understand. Well, it's an amazing thing that y'all pulled off. And something else I wanted to talk to both of you about. What happens when you do something as long as y'all have done it? I know you're doing Wichita. Jay's done the Queen Leopards. And, you know, I guess maybe you probably got a couple of stories about, and you've told a couple, but, you know, and Jay may have a couple to put in here about, you know, when it was very difficult for you to get a game in, but you did it anyway, or you had to be sick at some point in time and still do them. And I mean, over all those years, I mean, you can't have 400 games in a row, or like Jay does, or really close within four games, without things going on that just, you know, I know you've missed vacations because Teresa's told me about that.
I did one last year at 8 Oklahoma, a Wichita game. I don't know how I made it to the end of it. And I can tell you, my son said, you could have killed off the football doctor. So Jeff Root ends up testing positive for COVID the next week. So I know I had COVID and gave him COVID, but, you know, I'm one of those bad people who said, I'm too busy to take a test. I don't want to know. So I went on out there to Ada, and Jay, you'll remember how bad my voice was that day. And when I started the game, I told Jeff, I will never finish this game. But somehow it got a little stronger as the game went on. So I was able somehow. But I felt awful, and I've got to tell the story on this one. You said you ought to let somebody else drive. That's one of those where we left at about 4:30 in the morning because it was a 1 o'clock kickoff, meaning we went on the air at 12, meaning I like to be there about 10:30 in the morning. So we left about 4:30 in the morning. Well, foolishly, and my wife was out of town. So, you know, this is what happens when you leave somebody alone, a male like us.
So it's her fault, right?
Well, I come home at 12:30, and I feel so bad after doing the high school's show that I take two, not thinking at all that I'm not going to get a full 8 hours sleep, I take two Alka-Seltzer PMs. So after only 4 hours sleep, I'm still totally drugged. And I'm trying to drive out of Little Rock, and I can't keep my eyes open. And finally, Michael Westbrook, who was riding with me up in the front, I finally said, the first time I've ever done this, and it later hit on me what it was, like I hadn't slept those off. You know, I'm still on that PM. I said, Michael, you've got to drive. And actually handed the wheel over to him, and I did sleep till we got to Ada at that point, and then somehow did the game.
Yep.
Well, it's ironic you asked that question, because I actually have a column in the Dequeen Bee coming out probably this week. About that, I've had two close calls in the 396 in a row I've done.
Wow.
98 season, as you mentioned, I knew we had a pretty good team, but I didn't realize we were going to go that deep into the playoffs. And so my wife and I booked a vacation to Cancun during Thanksgiving week. And, well, we wind up beating Nashville week 9. We improved to 13-0, but we got Boonville coming up, but we blow out Boonville, and then all of a sudden we're going to War Memorial Stadium the following week, and I knew I was going to be in trouble when I got home to, you know, break the news to my wife that, you know, we're going to need to come back from Cancun on Thursday instead of Saturday. Maybe the only game I get to, state championship game I get to call, and that has certainly been the case. Second time around, and of course, like you said, she's never let me forget that every vacation since then. Second time it came around was in the 2000 season, and I was just down in my back. I had a bad kink in my back. I couldn't hardly walk, much less climb the steps to the press box. And the streak was like at 150 games at that time. And Bill Blackwood heard on the radio that morning that I was handing it off to Grant Smith and wasn't going to, you know, be able to call the game that night. My cell phone rings, and it's Bill Blackwood. And he says, my maintenance crew is going to cut a hole in the roof of the press box. I'm going to rent a crane, and I'm going to lower you down in to your seat. And I had trouble figuring out if Mr. Blackwood was serious or kidding.
You
knew him very well.
Yeah.
So I wasn't about to take that chance. I got there an hour early and started that path up to the painful path up to my perch in the press box, but got through it. But here's the interesting point. Looking ahead to week 10 this season, you know, we've moved the Arkansas High game back from Friday to Thursday. Well, earlier that afternoon, I'll be named chairman of the AEDC commission.
Oh, wow. Wow.
In Blytheville.
Oh, my God. Can't get any further away than that.
So I hadn't quite figured out yet how I'm going to get to Blytheville to Arkansas High in that
time
frame. You
got to find a friend with a plane, Jay.
So if anybody has any ideas, y'all let me know.
You got to have a friend with a plane.
It involves a jet and money.
You know, yeah. You know, and I have problems with fall allergies. For some reason, I don't in the spring. Spring can be fine because I'm not doing much radio in the spring, but it's fall. I don't know if it's what it is, that goldenrod or whatever in the fall. And so after I do 2 hours on a Friday night and then usually about 5 hours on a Saturday because we do an hour pregame. College game takes about three, an hour after. So sometimes my voice will be gone on Sunday. My doctor has gotten to the point after all these years that he no longer makes me come in. I'll just call and say, I need my steroid back. And, you know, where you start with 7 pills, you go down to 6, one of those. Mm-hmm. And that's been one of my regulars, but it seems to hit one time a year. But luckily so far, those steroids have usually brought me back if I can start them on a Monday by a Friday night again.
So do you have any secret that you use for your voice? I mean, like honey or, you know, anything like that?
You know, the older I get, the more I realize how important it is to stay hydrated. So, you know, I have a big bottle of water in the studio on Friday night, certainly have several bottles on Saturday next to me, and stay very hydrated. And that's one key.
Okay. Jay, you got anything?
Well, that's a bad habit I have. I've never been a big consumer of water, so I always have diet drinks. And so during the course of a Friday night ball game, I'll drink 4 or 5 Diet Cokes. Well, when I'm done at 10 o'clock, I'm wired. I can't sleep. You know, I hear the crowd noise reverberating through my head from wearing the headsets for 3 hours. So it's typically 5:30 the next morning before I'm able to go to sleep.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I need to switch from Diet Coke to water.
Yeah. That's one place I try to be better. I do drink a lot of water now.
Well, I don't think there's anybody between the two of y'all. I don't think anywhere probably. You talk about being the biggest network in the nation for both Division II and the high school scoreboard show. Probably we couldn't find anybody in the country that has more games called than y'all do together.
Oh,
sure.
No, not in the same room. No.
Well, it's still fun, and that's the thing about it. That isn't my main job. My main job is writing for the paper, and when it ceases being fun, that's when I'll know it's time to quit. And, you know, nothing is worse than somebody who tries to hang on way too long after their prime. We can all give examples of that. And I am very lucky in that I've got a brutally honest spouse. So when the day comes and I start slipping, I guarantee you, Melissa Nelson's going to let me know. Yeah. You know, this is your last season. Yeah, it is time to go. Because she is brutally honest. She will not let me make a fool of myself on the air, hopefully.
But you know, one good thing Rex enjoys so much is Washtaw's had just incredible run of success. You know, 15 straight winning seasons.
Jeff Root and I had this discussion. I said, Jeff, did you ever think we would still be doing this in our mid-60s? Because Jeff's been my color man almost all of those 41 seasons. And he said, no. But we never thought we'd be winning like this at this age. We're having too much fun now to stop. But Washtaw's regular season record, the last, most people don't realize this, and then I give them the math, they said, wow, the last 6 seasons, we are 60-6. So averaging 10-1 a year over a 6-season stretch. I mean, and I don't care what level of college football you're playing. That's pretty impressive. So we're having fun.
Yeah, and you know, for somebody that had never seen a Division II football game, the Battle of the Ravine between Henderson and Washtaw, everybody needs to go see that.
Oh, absolutely. It's a bucket list for every Arkansan, and it's bigger now than it's ever been, to be honest with you. I grew up a block from the Washtaw Stadium, so I grew up with that series. But, you know, with the Sports Illustrated coverage we got a few years ago and all, we do have a lot of people coming in, and both programs have been good now over a period of about 15 years, which has helped. So I can tell you that game is bigger now than it has ever been. It will draw easily 10 to 11,000, which is the population of Arkadelphia.
Yeah.
So there'll be as many people in that stadium on that day as there are in the whole town.
But one game, Greg, you want to put on your calendar this year is when the defending national champion, Harding, comes to Arkadelphia to play Washtaw. You know, Rex and I were talking about this earlier. Starting 1st of October, Washtaw has played traditionally day games for the rest of the year.
After we get out of September. Yeah.
Coach Todd Knight wants that game at night.
Yeah, he said, so, I want to build up to it. We've got new lights he wants to show off, so we move that one tonight. And if both Harding and Washtaw, and Harding's going to start the season number one, so if they're undefeated, they'll be number one in the country. If Washtaw's 6-0, it's the 7th game at that point, they'll be in the top 10 by then. That will be, if the weather's good, a Battle of the Ravine-type crowd for that game. That'll be the 7th game of the season.
We mentioned Todd Knight. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention Paul Simmons, the Harding coach,
because
he's an Ashdown graduate.
That's right.
What an incredible job he did.
That's right. Both Arkansas boys. Todd was from Star City, is where he played his high school, and then played for the Queen's own Buddy Benson in college at Washtaw.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I never played for Buddy Ball, but I did hang around with his daughter Lori a little bit when I was in college. And well, I watched them practice a lot, you know, and they had some tough practices.
His old players will still quote this, but I always think of it when we get to this time of year, August, and it's so hot and sticky. Coach Benson used to have that whistle, you know, on a string, and he'd twirl it around his finger, and then he'd untwirl it and twirl it, and he'd pace up and down that field, and what he would say over and over, and those guys are just dying out there in this hot weather, had this little chant. It was, "It's hard, but it's fair. You had a good home, you should have stayed there."
How many Rotarians had Buddy Bob stories for you today?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they did. Hard, but it's fair. What a legend. I was so lucky to grow up where I did, when I did, you know, be around people like him. And then, you know, another of my neighbors was Bill Vining, who was internationally recognized as a basketball coach, helped with the Olympic teams back then, was one of my neighbors. So to grow up where I did back then as a sports nut was really, really a great place.
And even across the street, Sporty Carpenter.
Yeah, Sporty Carpenter. Yeah. And you had Don Dyer in basketball before he went to UCA. Was at Henderson. Yeah, it was a great period. Yeah. And I still love telling Sporty stories. Another Arkansas native, he was from Hamburg. Another South Arkansas boy.
Yeah,
we had Janet Benson down at Rotary last December, Rex, and Coach David Sharp, the athletic director, helped us put that together. And I'll always remember Coach Benson. He would say, I married a Nashville girl.
Yep.
But I never lost to Nashville. Seventh grade on up. He would always, but I never lost to Nashville. And he could quote the scores, Rex, from his sophomore, junior, and senior year, how bad he beat Nashville. In fact, he said he ran a Nashville coach after his sophomore season, retired. As Buddy Bob says, he didn't want to face me two more years.
Yeah. Well, you know, great story on that. He came out, of course, he went to OU originally to play for Bud Wilkerson, didn't like it up there, came back to Arkansas, of course, through the famous pass to Preston Carpenter in 1954 to knock off nationally ranked Ole Miss at the time. So graduated from Arkansas. That's where he met then Janet Ball of Nashville, became Janet Benson, but became a high school coach and went to Louisville and down in Lafayette County, and was very successful there. But they had their first child, and you know, high school coaching doesn't pay that well now. You can imagine how little it paid in those days. And he said, we had to make some money. And so Janet's father had an automobile dealership in Nashville, and he moved back over to sell automobiles and was absolutely miserable. And so after about 2 years of selling cars, went to the state coaching clinic, which used to be this time of year, just hoping somebody had some opening at the last moment they needed to fill. He said, I've got to get back into coaching. Well, Washita had a coach named Rab Rogers at the time, and Rab Rogers had a late opening that had come open, didn't pay much, but said, you know, come on to Washita. And so he came there as an assistant in 61. When Rab retires, he becomes head coach in 65 and then spent 31 years as the head coach there. So that was where he was going to land for a couple of years, he thought, after leaving the automobile dealership in Nashville and spent the rest of his career there. So it's a great story. Sometimes you got to do what you love, not what pays more.
That's right.
And he hated selling automobiles. I can tell you.
Well, he was a great coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I think you talk to players from back in the 60s all the way through till he retired, and they all speak very highly of coach.
Yeah, and Todd Knight, you know, has really honored him. You know, we've got the old field was A.U. Williams Field. Now it's Benson Williams Field. We've put his name on the field. The stadium, of course, is named after Cliff Harris, who played for Coach Benson there. And Cliff is usually back for most of the home games now, which is great. That's another thing most Division II schools can't say they have a Pro Football Hall of Fame member in the stands for their home game. So that's been great for recruiting also.
Yeah, that's great. And I know he's put up some improvements to the
stadium. Oh, yeah. I mean, we already had, with what we did when we redid the stadium, already had what I think is one of the best venues in Division II, and we have now done what we call Phase II, which is all new stands on the visitor side and new lights, plus more landscaping, some new fencing and so forth. So we're now finishing up Division II, so it's really, really going to be a great facility now. And one of the things I have seen is in the years, I guess a couple of decades now, since Arkansas began moving games out of Little Rock, it has actually been good for our South Arkansas schools at the D2 level. Wichita, Henderson, Southern Arkansas, and all three have been pretty good in recent years. But I think our crowd have removed, and I think, you know, it's just a daggum far to Fayetteville. You got two-night minimums. It's so expensive that I think a lot of people all over this half of the state have found out, you know, that's pretty fun football in the GAC, and we're going to go to those games now.
You can get in for $8.
Yeah, and free parking at most everywhere. Yeah.
$8, what a bargain.
Yeah, and free parking. So now you got people from all over this part of the state that on a Saturday they can drive to Arkadelphia or Magnolia and still see very good college football.
Well, and I'm going to assume.
And be home in their own bed that night.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm going to assume that they have players that are stay a little bit more. You don't have that switchover like you do.
Another key, I think, to what Todd Knight's done at Wichita is we traditionally now have more of our starters from Arkansas than any other school in the state. So usually 17, 18 of our 22 starters will be Arkansas kids. And that's really important because you get their parents, their friends, all able to come to their games at that point.
And Coach Knight just finished a year as the National
American Football Coaches Association.
Which is all divisions. Division One, Division Two.
Yeah, what an honor that was for a Division Two coach.
For Arkansas in general. Know. Yeah. I think Bear Bryant was the last.
I was going to say, there have been a few South Arkansas natives that have headed the American Football Coaches Association before, including one Paul W. Bryant from Fordyce. Yeah. So pretty good company for Todd to be in.
May
have heard of that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, probably about time to wrap it up. Rex, you got anything else you want to mention football-wise for Arkansas?
No, I just appreciate Jay for letting me continue to run my mouth after all these years on Friday and Saturday nights. Hopefully the allergies and the COVID both will hold off this fall, and I can make it through.
The honor's been mine, you know, to work with Rex, just an awesome partner. And this is the fastest hour I can ever remember. It's gone by. There's been a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you coming in and talking to us and letting us do this. Just pick your brain about high school football and listen to the stories you got to tell, because I know we've got a poet laureate of the state of Arkansas, but I think you're probably the storyteller laureate of the state of Arkansas.
I mean,
reading your columns and listening to you talk about various subjects, but especially today and where we are on this podcast about high school football and just your experiences there is just like they said, just time melts away.
I am very lucky. When I was younger, both as a sports writer and as a political writer, I lived in Washington, D.C. for 4 or 5 years. So I've been able to cover everything from White House news conferences to national political conventions to State of the Union addresses. And on the sports side, Kentucky Derby, I've covered Super Bowl. So I was really lucky to do that when I was young. And I was telling my wife the other night, and those who know me know I'm telling the truth when I say this. I said, at my age now, I had much rather be driving to DeQueen to speak to the DeQueen Rotary Club than I had getting on an airplane to fly to Chicago, for instance, to cover next week's Democratic National Convention. Glad I did it when I was young, but I'm doing exactly what I want to do now, and that's traveling around this great state of Arkansas.
Well, we appreciate you so much coming in, and I guess that wraps it up for episode 47.
What a great episode it was.
Our chapter, season 2, episode 3, right?
That's right. That's could, right. Could we have haven't been decided better. Which way we're going with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, we're going both ways, I think. But I don't know how we're going to do the next episode after this one. It's going to be hard to follow it up. But we're going to do it with high school football. We'll be talking about all the scrimmage games and see where people land after that and get some more information about what's actually going to happen as we approach the football season here in just a couple of weeks. We appreciate you so much, Rex, for coming in. Jay sitting in with us, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.